Our Old Testament lesson for this morning is found in the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning with verse 10. It's the story of Jacob and Jacob's ladder. So listen with me for the word of God. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed. He dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord God stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Continuing on with the scripture passages for this morning, we pick up in Romans chapter 10. "For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, 'No one who believes in Christ will be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim Jesus Christ? This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence. Speak to us your word that we need to hear. In Christ's name, amen. Well, it's lovely outside. I like the warm weather, which is kind of obvious since I complained through half the winter, but it's lovely outside, and I'm thinking about summer getaways. Nah, I'm just thinking about getaways. I mean, real getaways. So I went on the internet, and I looked into the top 10 destinations for American fugitives. Hey, what the heck? Just in case I ever needed it. You know, fugitives, bad guys on the lam. Where do they run and hide? Well, I'm not going to list them all, but if you want to enjoy life as a fugitive where most people speak English, but they're not a lot of people, so you got a lot of land between you and anyone else, go north to Canada, don't you know? Yeah. Or if you really want to enjoy fugitive paradise, and Canada is way too cold, head to Costa Rica. Lots of island hopping there. You can just go from island to island to island, and no one will ever catch up. Or if you like the island paradise but don't want to bother with all the hopping, go to Cuba. Yeah, Cuba. A fugitive driving a 50-year-old Ford, hey, you'll fit right in. So those are some of the top destinations. There's also Thailand and the Philippines and stuff. But There's good news, folks, regardless of what you've done, what you did last night. If you're a fugitive and you still want to come to church, there's hope. Mm-hmm. On the top 10 destinations for fugitive, Wisconsin. Don't ask me why Wisconsin is on there. But you know, the good news is you can live your life as a fugitive 6.5 days a week and come down here and worship with us at Wildwood, and we'd love to have you. But the only reason I can think Wisconsin made the list is because when wearing a cheese head, the U.S. Marshals can't tell a fugitive from a Packers fan. I don't know. Anyone have a better suggestion? I have no idea why Wisconsin's on the list. Well, this morning's Old Testament lesson is about a fugitive. It's about Jacob. In Genesis 28, we catch Jacob when he's about ready to drop from exhaustion. And that's when he takes a rock as a pillow. Now, Jacob is on the run. He's on the run for deceiving his father and for stealing his older brother's blessing. You know, the older brother got everything, and the younger brother got nothing. But he stole that. He stole everything from his older brother. So he's a fugitive, not just running from the law, but running from his home and from his family as well, and especially the brother who has vowed revenge. I don't know. If this were today, I would suspect Jacob's mug to be all over the post office. He sounds like a pretty ruthless guy, probably not one to admit any vulnerability to anyone else, at least not while he's awake. So God waited until Jacob fell asleep. And then, bam, God showed up with a vengeance. Oh, wait, no. If God was vengeful, God would have punished Jacob for all that he had done. No, instead, God shows up with, bam, grace. The Bible says there was a ladder, ramp, basically a connection between heaven and earth, on which the angels were traversing. Then the Lord stands beside. He doesn't look down at Jacob like this. He stands beside Jacob, and he promises Jacob an inheritance far greater than can be stolen. And God's parting words are words of reassurance. Know that I am with you, and I will keep you throughout your journey. Well, Jacob, the fugitive, is a changed man. Jacob was found, was captured by God. What is it about this story that has transfixed God's followers for millennia? If you Google Jacob's ladder and then hit images, you will find numerous pieces of artwork throughout the ages as artists have tried to capture, visualize this scene. It is an amazing scene. And I'm wondering, why are we both disgusted by Jacob's behavior, yet we can relate so personally to him? Well, we're not fugitives like Jacob, but I suspect we've all felt like fugitives. I suspect at some point in our lives, we've all felt like running away. We've all had regrets. Jacob angered and disappointed his family, those whom he loved the most. And hey, I've angered and disappointed my family too, those whom I loved. How about you? Well, Jacob did what he did. He made some bad choices, stupid decisions, and now he had to live with it. Hey, I've made stupid decisions too. How about you? I mean, if we're honest, I bet at one time or another we have all felt like going on the lam from our actions or our attitudes or our words. But we've discovered that we cannot outrun our regrets. Shame is a merciless hunter. So it's impossible to be fugitives from ourselves, isn't it? Well, the good news is that it is also impossible to be fugitives from God. Jacob's story reminds us that regardless of what we've done, God's reassurances are still true for us today. For wherever we are, God is present. And hopefully, Jacob's story reminds us that God can still break into our lives when we least expect it, and that God still offers redemption, hope in the midst of hopelessness. And when we are hardest on ourselves, God offers us mercy. Bryant Collins was driving down an Atlanta highway when he saw some movement on the side of the road. It didn't seem right to him, but no one was stopping, so Bryant stopped and checked out what it was, and that movement happened to be a 15-month-old baby crawling along the highway. Well, Bryant called 911. The police came, but no one knew what to do with the baby, so Bryant just stayed there and held her, and when she got fussy, he took out his phone and played gospel music for her and remained there for a couple hours and still until her home was found. Well, that night, the sheriff held a special news conference praising the actions of Bryant Collins, saying that his actions and thus the baby whose life was saved were almost a miracle. Almost a miracle that her life was saved in such a situation. And that is really high praise coming from law enforcement, especially for Bryant Collins, who spent 10 years in federal prison for manufacturing cocaine. While in prison, he said he made a very conscientious effort to change. And Bryant has been free and clean for 5 years. Every day of which is a testament to God's presence and God's mercy. Funny, isn't it? Only after Bryant Collins broke the law, and boy, did he break it good, only after he broke the law did he realize the power of grace. Our New Testament passage from Romans 10 is the tail end of Paul's comparison between the law and Christ's grace. The church didn't know how to live. You know, there was no template on how to be a church. So they decided, well, we've got to do something for membership, so let's make a litmus test. You can do this, and you can do this, and you can't do this, and if that's how you behave, then you're a Christian. And Paul said, no, no, no. Even looking back to Jacob, God showers us with second chances. God showers us with unexpected grace, and that is even more true now since Jesus Christ came for us. The grace of Jesus Christ is all sufficient. Throw away the litmus test. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, because the good news of Jesus Christ is so powerful, so transformative, is literally life-saving, we need to share it. I mean, folks, come on, seriously? I doubt any one of us in here, if we were driving down the highway, saw a baby crawling on the side of the road, would say, oh, look, honey, a baby. Well, let's just keep on going, all right, because I got life. We don't care about them. Put your pedal to the metal and let's gun it out of here. I don't think so. I don't think we'd do that. So why don't we stop and share our life-giving faith? Is it because we have stereotypes about the people who evangelize?
Evangelism is not for the weak, all right? I should know. I wrote a whole book about it, self-published. Most Christians, they are just good for bake sales and potluck dinners. But I'm telling you this right now, it takes a lot of moxie to grab a non-believer by the shirt collar and throw him in the front doors of a church and say, hey, try living out your heathen life in front of a holy God that way. It is like holy water on a vampire. That's divine intervention, my friend.
Repent, for the kingdom of the Lord is nigh. Come to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, sir, it sounds like you're really passionate about Jesus.
I am. And you should also be.
Okay.
Passionate about the Lord.
Sir, if there's...
You need to get sanctified or chicken fried. You need to get with the Lord or drive a Ford.
Sir, we...
Get right or get left.
I share my faith. Okay, that's a lie. People don't even know I'm a Christian. I want to. Again, another lie. I hardly shower, much less have the will to do anything else. Okay, now if there was pizza and ice cream every time there was faith sharing, I'd do it. That's a lie. I'm lactose intolerant. Again, another lie. I'm just too cheap to buy dairy. Bottom line, sharing my faith makes me sweaty.
Tip number 95, use big church words like transubstantiation. Heathens get confused easily, and the more confused they are, the more ashamed they are. The more ashamed they are, the more apt they are to make a decision for Jesus Christ.
I believe it's a responsibility, no. The privilege, no. The glorious privilege of every believer to share their faith with others. That's why I share my faith with everyone I come in contact with.
Everyone, really?
Yeah, everyone.
How do you do that?
Check out my shirt. Can't read it? Try this glove. Not working for you? How about this bracelet? No comprendo? Vistazo a estos. Driving behind me? Read my bumper sticker. Says, it's okay if you follow close. I'm going to heaven. Oh, you're my waiter or waitress? I got a tip for you. Surprise! It's the gospel. I mean, what do you want, money or eternity? I also use these tracks.
So, what about talking to people about your faith?
I don't really like people, but I love Jesus. Scripture mint?
Hi, my name is George.
And I'm Jorge, and together we're George and Jorge.
Right, right. What we like to do is to take secular songs and reprogram them.
Yes, the purpose is for evangelism. We like to take songs to the unbelieving world and make it believable.
Right, right. Let us give you a sample right now.
Ask you, what makes you tick? What is it? You're headed to H-E double hockey sticks.
Hey, lost sinner, why don't you just give it all up to Jesus?
Tonight, pray for your soul today. For your soul today. Just pray.
Okay, now you know the truth. Greg Bostrom goes away and we sit around watching funny YouTube videos all day. Well, how then do we evangelize if we can't slap someone against the wall or say transubstantiation three times fast? How do we become evangelists? Well, let's look at Scripture. The word evangelism or evangelist comes from the word evangel. And evangel has the same root word as angel. Now, going back to Jacob's story, what was the angel's role? Did they say just the right words? Did they have a certain skill set that maybe they learned at Angel Tech? No, they didn't say anything. They just showed up. And by their presence, they showed God's presence. We can do that. We can do that. It's not down to saying the exact right words or having the exact right skills. It's showing up. It's listening. It's praying for people. Because assured of God's presence with us, by our presence and through grace, others can likewise experience God's presence. So perhaps the best form of evangelism is living a faithful life, is living compassionately, is being present, is just being who God created you to be and not being afraid of that. I know. None of us are on the U.S. Marshal's most wanted list, but there are always times, or there have been times, when we felt like fugitives. But quit running away. Quit running away, because it's impossible. We simply cannot outrun the presence of God. We can't go on the lam from the grace of Jesus Christ. And thank heavens we can't. What good news! Now share that good news. Share that good news, because someone, whether a Packers fan, or someone crawling on the side of the road, or someone who is dressed so professionally in the office down the hall, someone in your life, in your world, needs to hear that good news. And you can be their angel. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.